A service for the fifth Sunday in Lent, March 22nd, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our text is from John chapter 11, select verses. When Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews who had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this on his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not only for the nation only, but also to gather into the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sermon entitled Resurrection Certainty. My friends, here we remain in the season of Lent. In some ways, it is a gloomy season, but this is intentional. It's the season for reflecting on our mortality due to sin, realizing that we are dust, and due to our sinful disobedience, both inherited and committed by us, we shall return to dust and ashes. Yes, we focus upon this gloomy reality. We deal with it all the time. Our loved ones pass away, even though they may have lived long lives. However, by other tragic means, younger people are taken from us too. Sometimes this is because of sickness and accidents. Other times, however, it happens due to something more nefarious. War, which is an extension of politics, takes lives too, as bodies are returned from overseas in flag-draped coffins. Well, in today's gospel lesson, we learn of a death followed by the grief of loved ones. The one who died was a man named Lazarus. His loved ones were his sisters, Martha and Mary. What made it worse is that they had hoped Jesus would arrive in time to heal Lazarus after he became ill. They sent word for Jesus to come. However, he purposely delayed his arrival. And so our text tells us, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. He and the disciples had even missed out on the funeral. Reports of their late arrival reached the sisters by those consoling them. And it is reported that when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Was she scolding him or just stating a fact? Due to how she once wanted Jesus to scold Mary for not helping with preparations, Martha may have been expressing her disappointment with him at his late arrival. Then she may have caught herself realizing how she was sounding condescending. Martha therefore added, "But even now I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you." It was as though she shook off her disappointment and reaffirmed her faith in him despite his inaction. Deep down, Martha was aware that Jesus knew best. Jesus did not intend to disappoint. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now Martha confessed, as we do, faith in the resurrection of the dead. After all, she and others knew of Ezekiel's vision of the valley of the dry bones coming to life again by the power of the Spirit. She confessed to Jesus, "I know that my brother Lazarus will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." This was her faith. In time, there would be this great reunion. She didn't know how this would be possible, even though she believed. But Jesus used this as an opportunity to teach Martha and us how it's possible. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus would make resurrection possible not only for her, but for everyone who believes in him. Here now is the question, for her, for us, for all mankind. Jesus asks Martha, "Do you believe this?" And not by her own reason or strength, but by the Holy Spirit, Martha was able to answer, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Friends, is having a faith like that of Martha set in reality, or is it delusional? Is it just something we pretend to be true to help us cope with our losses in times of grief? Or is the resurrection of the dead something that Jesus can make happen? If only something very real and undeniable might take place to prove Jesus' power and authority to turn death into life. Well, though Martha and Mary may have been disappointed for the moment with Jesus for not having arrived sooner, they were not going to be disappointed for long. So too, you and I don't have to be disappointed that there is no proof for what it is we believe about the resurrection of the dead. We are informed that Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Now, this didn't sound like a good plan to Martha. In that climate, keeping the tomb closed was more sensible. She explained to Jesus, "Lord, by this time there will be a bad odor, for he has been in there 4 days." Yes, not only was Lazarus dead and buried, but he was decomposing back into dust and ashes. The stench of this process would not be pleasant. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" The concern of an odor did not dissuade him. Those serving then complied as they took away the stone. Whether or not a smell emerged, we are not told, but if it did, it would not last long. Jesus then lifted up his eyes and he prayed, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! Truly, what an odd thing to do. Imagine you or me going to the cemetery, reading a name on a gravestone, calling out that name, and commanding that person to come forth. Do you know what would happen if we tried that? Nothing. But when Jesus, the one who is the resurrection and the life, does it, something happens. This is what is reported. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Make no mistake, the one who was dead, buried, and decomposing, with a burial shroud wrapped around his body, came out and about. Jesus ordered, unbind him and let him go. Lazarus was free and released, not just from the linen strips, but from death itself. Friends, this proves that Jesus has power and authority even over death. We don't just have a hopeful feeling that there will be a resurrection, but we have a living hope based on fact. The fact is that this man, Jesus, can call the dead back to life. Believe it. Many at that time believed. Our text says that many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. That this happened revealed to Martha and Mary, together with all those present, that indeed Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that whoever believes in him, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die. Yet, in spite of what took place, there will always be those locked into disbelief. That's what happened with the chief priests and Pharisees. They couldn't deny the miracle, but they did deny who Jesus is. They gathered in council and asked, what are we to do, for this man performs many signs? Believing in him wasn't an option for them, regardless of the evidence. Politics were more on their mind. They said, if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come, and they will take both our place and our nation. Caiaphas then stepped forward, concluding that it is better that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. So from that day they made plans to put him to death. Next Sunday, when we gather together, we will talk more about how they indeed succeeded in putting Jesus to death with their false accusations, handing him over to the Romans. They crucified him. A man named Joseph saw that his body was wrapped in a shroud and entombed. However, similar to Lazarus prior to him, Jesus rose from the dead. No one with authority called him to come forth. Jesus came out on his own. He was victorious over sin, death, and hell for us. Where Jesus' resurrection differs from that of Lazarus is that Lazarus had later to die again. Martha and Mary's hearts would break again, unless they predeceased him. In that case, Lazarus' heart would have broken, he would have wept. In Jesus' case, he rose in the physical state in which the faithful will rise at the last day, immortal, imperishable, in heavenly bodies, to live forever upon the renewed earth, for death and tears shall be no more. Yes, this gloomy season of Lent will before long give way to the glorious season of Easter. This is because Christ rose from the dead, and now all who die, who believe, and who are baptized, and thus connected to Jesus' death and resurrection, shall one day be raised from the dead. What a difference this makes for us, especially as the years go by and we inch ever closer to our own last day. That will be an end, but it won't be the end. Instead, it will be the time to go to be with the Lord until we return with Jesus to be raised. Jesus said in John 5, "For an hour is coming when all who are in their tombs will hear my voice and come out to the resurrection." direction of life. After all, as Jesus told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.